to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I want to preach something out of our series, if I could, about Thanksgiving. We will not be having a service this evening, so this will be the last opportunity I'll have to speak to you about Thanksgiving before Thursday. In chapter 5, verse 20, after he said in verse 18 that we are to be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, we're not to be under the influence, under the control of a substance of the world, of sin, but we are to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, is what he's saying in verse 18. And then that causes us to not talk to ourselves, but to speak to one another, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which we just experienced, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I've always wanted to sing, but 40 years of preaching has taken my voice, and it won't allow me to do that. One day in heaven, Lynette's going to walk, and one day I'm going to sing. So I think that's a fair trade-off. Verse 20 is our text, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you'll look back in our reading in chapter 6, verse 18 again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for all that are saved. This teaching on the filling of the Holy Spirit and the resulting Spirit-filled life begins and it ends with prayer. Our Christian life began with prayer. If you look back at chapter 5, verse 20, after he says to be filled with the Spirit, there's prayer. And when he finishes what the Spirit-filled life looks like in our life, he ends it in verse 18 with a prayer. Our Christian life began with prayer. Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, come into my life. Come into my heart. Our Christian life will end on earth with a prayer. Lord Jesus, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then all the prayers and communion with the Lord in between those two points will affirm that commitment of salvation that I made when I came to the cross, realizing that I was lost and in need of forgiveness and need of his salvation. And so every time we pray, it's an affirmation of that commitment we made to the Lord, just like every morning at formation, a soldier will, when the colors are drawn up, he salutes. And that's an affirmation of the oath and the allegiance that he took when he joined the military. Verse 18 here in chapter 6 of Ephesians is a foundational outline of what our daily prayer life should look like with someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 20 in our text in chapter 5, he said, giving thanks always. Verse 18 of chapter 6 said we should pray always. May I remind us that the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit is a command, and a command requires obedience. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not an experience that we seek for or we wait for it to happen to us. The fullness of God means that every area of our life is filled with God. We don't grieve or quench Him out of any activity or any thought or any imagination that we have. We do something and we go, oh, I hope God doesn't see that. Oh, I hope God didn't hear that. He does. He does so much in the fact that in 1 Corinthians 6 it says that with Him indwelling our bodies, when we sin, we bring Him into that action. That's why it so grieves Him when we go against the leading of His Spirit and against His Word. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is a command. And if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not living in obedience to the Word of God. And then for 32 verses after chapter 5, verse 18, the Holy Spirit shows us how to pray and live out this command in every area of our life, in our church life, in our marriage, in our family, in our job, in our ministry. And then in chapter 6, verse 10 and following, in our inner life of struggle between flesh and spirit, and the outer life of our struggle between the lost who oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm to pray always, chapter 6, verse 18 says, with all prayer. That means with all types and all kinds of prayer. He mentions the prayer of supplication. To supplicate means to humbly ask for your own needs. We're to bring our needs to the Lord. The prayer of watchfulness, where I wait before the Lord for Him to reveal through His Word something that requires my attention. This will then lead to a prayer of confession and repentance, where I have grieved the Holy Spirit that has caused my spiritual growth to cease, whether it's been 2 hours or 2 years. When I've grieved the Holy Spirit, when I have shut Him out of an area of my life, I cease to grow and become more Christ-like. Some attitude, some issue, some point of disobedience. Folks, let me tell you, revival will occur when this is brought out and dealt with. That inner awareness, that discernment of something being wrong, some distress inside of you, will lead us to ask in prayer, Lord, where have I grieved You? And then deal with it immediately when He shows you. And that requires perseverance, dedication, and time. Don't put it off for a convenient season. Then it says the prayer of supplication for all saints, all that are sanctified, all that are saved. This is the prayer of intercession, where we ask the Lord for the needs of others. But chapter 5, verse 20 is the hardest of all the different types of prayers. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. It's the prayer of thanksgiving. But yet you say, preacher, that should be the easiest of all the prayers. I think of all the blessings that He's given me. I think of all the food, the clothes, the house, my possessions, the money I have that the Lord's blessed me with, the job that I have, my wife or my husband or my children, my son, my daughter, my grandchildren, my relatives, my friends, my church family that the Lord has blessed me with, my salvation. Lord, this ought to be the easiest of the prayers that You've asked us to pray. But you see, we're leaving some things out, are we not? What about sickness, pain, conflict, frustration, loss of a job, loss of a loved one? We can't even imagine sitting down to a Thanksgiving meal on Thursday and pray, Lord, thank you for this food and thank you for this toothache that will hurt with every bite of the turkey that I eat. We can't even think of thanking him for that. But that's what our text here says, and that's why it's the most difficult prayer to pray. That's because of our human nature, that fallen sin nature. It resents pain and discomfort and injustice and difficulty. And it will harbor a grudge, a resentment, a bitterness against anybody who causes it, even the Lord. That's why the command to be filled with God's Spirit comes before this. Because walking in the fullness of God enables us to accomplish not only what is difficult, but what is impossible. We can't do it in our own strength. 1 Thessalonians is even more difficult. Just listen, it's just a short verse. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This completely goes against the grain of our human nature. That fleshly nature will rise up and say, the wrong has to be made right. Even our friends and family will join in with us and encourage us to stand up against this. Our whole culture that we live in is against this. Take the football helmet off his head and smash his head in if somebody says something ugly to you. But the Lord says, whoever slaps you, turn your face to the other side. Somebody sues you in court and takes away your coat, give him your overcoat as well. When the law compels you to carry a load for a soldier 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. If somebody asks you for something, give it to them. Giving thanks always for all things. The prayer of thanksgiving. Do we pray out of fear? Do we pray when only we're in trouble? Or do we pray out of love and out of faith? Do we complain to God when good things happen to us? Lord, why are you allowing my boss to give me a raise? I don't deserve it. It's not fair. So why do we when bad things happen? This is the absolute, complete opposite of human nature. It takes the power of God to live this kind of a Christian life. It takes being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It means giving him control of every area of our life. The Lord is teaching us that the most important thing is not our possessions or our time or our person, because this is not the sum total of our life. And this does not make up our life as it does a lost person. We've given our person to the Lord. We belong to Him. We've given our possessions to the Lord. We've surrendered our time to the Lord. We are the Lord's. So therefore, the protection of our own rights is not the object and the primary object of our life. Remember, little children, our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. This is the foundation that enables us to obey this text in Ephesians 5:20. I mean, what part do we not understand of, if any man forsake not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple? I can't come to your feast because I have a possession of ground and I need to go and see it. I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go and prove them. I've just married a wife. Please excuse me, I cannot come to your invitation. Right after that, he said, if any man come not to me and hate his father, his mother, his wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The lordship of Jesus Christ must transcend all human relationships. And whoever does not take up his cross and carry it and come after me cannot be my disciple. Folks, our life is over when we get nailed to a cross. The Lord has established for us the supremacies on which the Christian life is based. He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. If you've not resigned and abandoned the ownership of your time and possessions and abilities and human relationships, you're going to resent when one of those is taken. That's my time. You'll resent any loss of your possessions. Satan told the Lord one day, you let me touch Job and he'll curse you to your face. Don't hurt me. Don't mistreat me. This is my person. Lord, you have no right to allow me to be hurt or sick or in pain. And Lord, you cannot take my loved ones from me. I need them. But when we get to the place where we can say, Lord, you're worthy of anything I have. I am abandoning it all to you as an act of love, as an act of worship. So when someone touches your time, your person, your relationships, your possessions, you can say, they're not mine. They're God's. Lord, you are the Lord of my life, and all that I am and all that I have is yours. That's an acknowledgement. It's an affirmation of my faith every time I begin to pray. And as I begin to praise Him and to thank Him for everything that's happened to me today, and if any memory of the past, good or bad, in between comes up, I can thank Him for everything that happened. My heart is insulated from any hidden resentment against the Lord for doing an injury to me or allowing it to happen. I'm insulated. Ed, you know how miserable it can be in a duck blind. on a January day when the wind's blowing out of the north. I remember sitting there one time with my dad saying, "No duck is worth this." And then I discovered something wonderful. It's called insulated underwear. You're still in the cold, but you don't feel it. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. We're still in the world. We're still in this old body. But He insulates us to where we don't feel it. We don't feel any resentment. Are you at that place now? You see, it all belongs to Him, including my person. And He can do with what belongs to Him as He sees fit. And beloved, what He sees fit in His will is always good and right and holy and best for us. If you want to leave the sanctuary this morning with a balm of Gilead in your hearts as we close, something that will protect you, something that will insulate you in the days and weeks to come, I want you this right now to go back, return back to that last bitterness, the last resentment, the last time you uttered the phrase, "Lord, I don't understand why You," and fill in the blank. The last heartache, the last grief, the last strife, the last uncertainty. Go back to the last disappointment and say with your heart, "Thank You, Father, for letting that happen." Because You're worthy of my thanksgiving and praise for my very spirit, because I'm now beginning to grasp some of the love that You've loved me with to conform me into Your holiness and into Your Son. If you do that right now, the poison that's inside of you, the boils will be healed. And all the infection that's been produced in your personality and in your service to the Lord will go the same way your sins went when you were forgiven. Child of God, He knows what's remaining in us that is still not conformed to Jesus Christ. And that's what He touches. So that in that sensitivity, it'll drive us to Him in prayer for power, for strength to go through. The Lord loves you too much to not make you holy and Christ-like. That thing that you think you can't stand, get ready, because that's what's coming. That thing, that person you can't live without, better give it, him, or her to the Lord now. You see, there's a process that you can avoid if you know this truth. Job said that, he said, "That which I fear has come upon me." If he would have given his family, his possession, his health to the Lord, the trial wouldn't have been near as severe. Immediately, in the fullness of the control of your life, that's in His hands. If anything moves out of that control, bring it right back and then thank Him. When everything's going good and all of a sudden somebody bumps you and you go home nursing that wound instead of resenting that person who did that, instead say, "Thank You, Father, for revealing that sensitive spot in me." Giving thanks always for all things. This is a gracious thing that the Lord is doing on His part He loves us. I mean, he really does. Oh, how much you're loved by your Heavenly Father, folks. Make sure that nothing is our own, and the desire of our heart is to be just like Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for the flat tire, the electricity going off, the water pipes freezing, the telephone call as we sit down to eat supper. It's all of those things, and it's the big ones as well. All coming under the rule and the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are His, and what we have is His. This morning, may we thank Him always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for the good things and for the bad things, because, Lord, those bad things were allowed in Your sovereignty and in Your lordship to mold us and to shape us to be like Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in holiness and in righteousness. Lord, You've weaned us from the love of the world by allowing these things into our life. So, Lord, with that knowledge, with that truth, may we in everything and in all things thank You, knowing that it's Your will for that to take place. Lord, if we haven't done so, I pray this morning that everything we have, all of the relationships that we enjoy, and Lord, even our own person, our health, our well-being, Lord, we give it to You. It belongs to You. Lord, we no longer will try to hold ownership to it. So, Lord, we cannot be resentful of You doing something with what belongs to You. Thank You for a time of thanksgiving. Thank You for a time that we can acknowledge just how good You've been to us. We pray in Jesus' name.